welcome to the very first edition of EcoTalk in this new year. We want to wish all our listeners a very happy, healthy, and greener 2006. We can all get greener, right? We have a very inspiring program for you today. I hope you will be as inspired as I am with these guests and topics, jam-packed with everything from two great movies out, one out there on the big screen, that is Syriana, and it has, of course, an environmental theme, if not the primary theme, then certainly undertones, because it's, of course, all about oil. And so is The End of Suburbia, which is available as a documentary and DVD format, and it's a really important film. It's a must-see, and we're going to talk to one of the persons involved with the making of that movie, again, The End of Suburbia. If you haven't heard of it, stay tuned. And speaking of suburbia, we'll be looking at a big problem that we see out in the burbs, and really not only in the suburbs, but in cities across America as well, and that is idling. You might not think that's a big environmental problem, but there's a lot of polluting that's happening, and it's really unnecessary. We'll find out what's happening in the trucking industry, where truck drivers used to be idling, you know, all night long to keep their cabs warm, and there's new technology that's going to hopefully begin to phase that practice out. We'll also find out if there's idling in your neighborhood outside your school, if you see a lot of soccer moms in their big SUVs keeping warm while their kids at basketball practice, what you can do besides just go up and confront her. We've got a better way to do it, and we're going to talk to someone who's actually started an anti-idling campaign in the Pacific Northwest, something that people can go to their website and download their template, so you can find out if that's something that bothers you, or maybe after you hear about some of the impacts of idling, it will bother you enough to actually take action. We're also going to get the top green stories of 2005, but first we want to take care of some business, and we are proud to welcome Pet Ecology Brands as our new title sponsor. Pet Ecology is a maker of Scientific Professional, the eco-friendly ultra-lightweight cat litter that features a special patented sickness indicator. Pet Ecology's earth-friendly cat and dog products are inspired by pets, people, and our planet. Also want to thank our environmental partners, the Natural Resources Defense Council, Earth Justice, and the Union of Concerned Scientists, all helping to make EcoTalk possible on Air America. So now we're going to go to the top environmental stories of 2005, and to get more on that, we're going to go to Dave Roberts. He is a staff writer at GRIST, my favorite environmental news magazine. Their slogan is gloom and doom with a sense of humor, something we try to adopt here at EcoTalk. And Dave, I liked your list. You said it was somewhat subjective, but I think I agree with you. What would you say are your top five stories?
Well, the number one story, and I wouldn't even say it's the number one environmental story, just the number one story of the year, obviously, is Hurricane Katrina. There are obviously many, many facets and aspects of the story. It's a bit of a, in terms of the news, a bit of a Rorschach test. Everyone sort of found their own issue lurking inside there, poverty, racism, government preparedness, you name it. But I think the aspects of the story that are really going to be remembered 10, 20, 50 years down the line are twofold. One is this, you know, we've had warnings about global warming for, you know, decades now, and opinion polls show that the public basically knows that it's happening, knows it's going on, more or less accepts it, but this sort of brought it home in an extremely visceral way. This is the kind of stuff we can expect. This is what is going to happen. So even if this particular hurricane wasn't connected in a strong way to global warming, and there's, you know, plenty of scientific debate about that, nonetheless, I think the public finally got a really clear demonstration of the kind of thing that climate can do. So that's one thing. And the second aspect of it, which is related, is how utterly unprepared we are for those consequences.
Mm-hmm. It really did expose our underbelly in this country on so many levels, as you pointed out.
It was like it's like the dream everybody has where you wake up naked in school. You know, all of a sudden there we were, exposed, unable to get people out of a city, unable to protect a city from swells of water, really totally and completely caught out.
And it wasn't just Katrina, of course. On its heels was Wilma and Rita, and I'll never forget that scene of Texans trying to escape Houston in their giant SUVs and running out of gas, and they were all stranded along the shoulder of the road looking like a bunch of dinosaurs.
The ironies.
It is, really. I mean, that it hit the oil rigs and hit Texas, and there's old Bush saying, global warming, what problem? Kyoto, that's what my father threw up on when he was in office, you know. What's going on here? It seems like if Mother Nature was watching and wanted to give us a wake-up call and said, don't fuel with me, this was the beginning of it.
Indeed, which leads us to the second story, which is even more remarkable in the light of the first, which is Bush's and the administration's continued success in not doing anything about it.
Continued success. That's a good way to put it, especially after what happened or didn't happen in Montreal.
Yeah, it's become, it's been a source of great frustration to environmentalist concerned citizens for years now, their continued intransigence, their refusal to take action on it. But it's reached the point of absurdity almost. It's almost become performance art. Like it's,
and it would be funny if it wasn't so frightening.
Yes, I know. It's amazing. It's amazing the amount of pressure they're under, the number, just the range of pressures they face from the EU, from Tony Blair, from Democrats at home, from Republicans in Congress, from the public, science organizations, you name it. Everybody's pushing on them now.
The stubbornness and the arrogance. I know. It's really remarkable.
it's quite amazing. And the really amazing part of it is they seem to honestly be escaping any real political consequences.
Well, they should watch the end of Suburbia, Syriana, and a few other things we're going to be talking about in this hour. So we don't miss out on the other top stories that you chose. What would they be?
The third one was, sort of in contrast to the lack of federal action, was action at the state and local levels was really accelerated this year. The big story there was the greenhouse gas pact signed recently by 7 northeastern states, which agreed to cap carbon dioxide emissions from power plants and established a carbon trading system there. That was extremely big news. The fourth is, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, is the success on the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, managed to fight off drilling there again 3 or 4 times this year.
What a nice holiday present. Right as I was leaving for Christmas and Hanukkah, Ted Stevens got his present.
Yeah, it was...
handed to him.
It was high comedy this year. He really pulled out all the stops trying to get it going this year. He attached it to a defense appropriations bill, tying it to troop funding, and then also threw in hurricane victim aid and low-income subsidies for low-income people to heat their houses, attached all that to a defense drilling bill.
And then tried to make Congress people who were outraged by that, the audacity of that, he tried to make them feel guilty for holding up the military appropriations bill.
Yes,
and Joe Lieberman said, I'm not doing this, you are. That was great theater.
It was good theater, and when he lost, he really threw a tantrum that will go down in the ages.
I'm taking my marbles, I'm going home, I'm going to be depressed for the rest of my life. That guy is obsessed. He's been at this for 25 years. Do you think he'll give up and actually quit?
If I had to predict, I would say this time next year we will be having the same discussion.
Mm.
They'll keep trying.
Well, let's pause and savor the victory, the rare environmental victory in Congress that we got at the end of 2005.
Exactly, and it was high profile too.
And what's your last one? I think we're up to 5.
The last one was sort of a combination of high fuel prices and the increasing popularity of hybrid cars, and just the increasing profile of fuel economy, vehicle fuel economy in general, really became a mainstream topic of discussion this year.
Yeah, the year hybrids finally became what they really are, which is smart, chic, and as well as money-saving.
Yeah. The question is whether it was just a flurry of talk based on high fuel prices, because fuel prices could and probably will sink back down a little bit next year. The question is whether this momentum behind fuel economic cars will continue or whether it will fade with concern about fuel prices.
I'll tell you one thing. The Automobile Alliance will no longer be able to use as an excuse that Americans don't care about fuel efficiency, and that's what they were saying up till this past year.
That's right.
For whatever reason, and whether they're motivated by their pocketbooks, which I suspect is the case for most Americans, or pollution, greenhouse gases, I suspect it's the first. I think people, I hope we don't do what we did in the 70s, which is have such a short attention span. And I don't think we can, really, with so many other factors falling into place.
Yeah, the momentum is really getting irresistible. Another excuse they won't have anymore is that they can't make money off these cars, or that these cars are unsafe. Because what's happening is American car makers aren't making any money off them because they aren't really making them, but Toyota and Honda are making money hand over fist on these cars.
Well, not only are they not making money, but look at GM. I mean, they could be teetering on bankruptcy, and why they didn't see this coming, I'll never know, but they're seeing it now.
Well, they made some fateful decisions in the 70s, and they're still paying for them.
That's right. We just have a little bit of time left, but you mentioned in writing about the year of the hybrid, you mentioned tribrid. That's a new term for me. What is that?
Well, there's no obviously commercially available one yet, but the idea is to create a car that has a hybrid gas electric engine, typical like in the Prius, but that can also run on biofuels like ethanol.
Terrific. Alternative fuels. We'll be looking to hear more about that. Dave Roberts, thanks for joining us, and Happy New Year to you.
It's been a pleasure. You too.
Dave is with Grist Magazine. Check it out at grist.org. It's daily news with a sense of humor, lots of puns, lots of wit. It's a don't miss. We'll be right back.